Hello, world. Today's guest on the podcast is Jamie Kennedy. Jamie is a hilarious comedian and actor who's had a marathon of a career in Hollywood. He's been in films and TV shows such as Romeo and Juliet, Malibu's Most Wanted, Boiler Room, Scream, The Jamie Kennedy Experiment, and I'd be here all day if I had to keep going. On this episode, we talk about Florida, the evolution of media in Hollywood, what it's like balancing a Hollywood career with comedy and social media, and much, much more. This one is short, but it's packed with gems. Please welcome Jamie Kennedy.
Dude, you should definitely, I don't even we should open it up with you cleaning out your microphone.
Should.
Are you recording? You're safe.
Who's the last Jamie. Mouth here?
I don't even remember who the last mouth was.
Bro, coming down the crack den.
Yeah, this is crack town, but we're not far from the beach. This doesn't remind you of where you're from at all?
Malibese.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is nothing like Malibese, huh?
Malibese.
What could you relate? What is this town remind you of? Because you've been to a lot of different towns around the country.
It's cool, but it's like you got to like drive through the crack to get to the water. You know what I mean? Mm. So you like got this dope setup that people are looking at, but they don't know that outside of here looks like it could be a potential war zone. You know what I'm saying? Drug trafficking.
Yeah.
But it's dope, you know, and I never met you, and you're like, yo, come into this room, and then I'm like, yo, this guy looks kind of fit, like, what do I gotta do? Like, I
got, oh, thank
my,
you.
Got my pen, like, man, get him in the neck, and the other homie here, and there's some dude in the Tesla, and I was like, how many can I take out, do a joke, you know what I mean? But it's nice, and once I got in here, and I know you got a good following, see, you'll go anywhere. Because the numbers, you got good numbers. So I was like, I got to come to the
numbers
den.
Are what brought you here?
Dude, I was, my assistant was setting this up and then they were like, well, we can try to do this and this. And you guys were a little hard to pin down. You guys hit me up. I hate it when people do this. They hit me up and then they want me to accommodate them. And it's like, what the fuck?
I got to fire the guy that handles all that stuff, the booking guy.
Oh, he
fucks everything up.
Well, no, he was, I mean, no diss to him, but he was like, he can't do it. And I was like, and then I know that you have a good following. So I was like, fuck it. So I drove over the bridge, took a rowboat.
I apologize
but
for him.
No,
he's a,
dude.
He's a pain in the ass.
Appreciate you. No diss to him if you're seeing this. But
Tyler, fuck you. Tyler, you suck.
But it was
It's not like as bad as Skid Row. I mean, some people have a little skid around Skid Row.
Yeah, a lot of pods are in hell.
In hell.
But this is nice. You got a nice setup here. And 70s. Reminds me of the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. I was actually originally going for the look of, you know, in The Sopranos when he sits in there and talks to psychiatrists, like their room.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Sopranos?
Like, honestly, it's two eps. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy, bro? I don't know anything about you, but I know Concrete Media.
Really?
And I know you have a big following.
How do you know that? And you don't know?
Because I see your clips get recommended to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you have like 450,000.
Yeah.
And I don't know who you are. And yet, are now a destination that you got me, whatever I am. I'm like a mainstream.
You're a Hollywood superstar.
Well, I'm a mainstream name. But this is what the beautiful thing is of our world right now. Guys like you can have this hub that's little but it's not. It's becoming very big. I did this in Austin. There's another group over there called the Drinking Bros. They're blowing up. And it's like every city has it. So it's like media is completely disrupted forever. It's dope.
Yeah, it is super weird, right? Like I would have never, some little kid in a crackhead town would never have the chance to talk to or interview a guy of your caliber.
Stop
it. And you came here. You came here to talk to me.
I came to you. I got my Dunkin'. Yeah. And I listed a driving. You saw my Uber driver. She was fine, right?
Oh, she's super hot. Shout out to her. Driving the Malibu, the black Malibu.
Came in the Malibese. But honestly, it was the numbers. And then that's BT so at the club was like, yeah, man, they got big following. BT that's blew crazy. You up. Like, in fact, two other people in Florida told me about you.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Your name rings bells.
Lubing me up right now. You're making me feel good.
Juicy.
Loving it. Loving it. How? So you're here on like a, are you on tour right now doing comedy or what?
Yeah. I mean, we fucking were doing comedy in fucking parks and top of parking lots and forest in LA. Like every comic you see on Netflix was like playing a bush. And we were of a different experience. And
hey, real quick, if he keep an eye out for him because he might come in later.
And then the world slowly opened up and people started making me offers. And I was like, oh, do I want to go inside? And then I saw like one comedian go inside. And then they like checked the filtration systems. And then the club here is incredible. Side Splitters is incredible. It's like BT, who owns it, put these lights, dude, in the AC. So it's like those infrareds.
Oh, the ones that Trump was talking about that kill the virus.
For real, dude. But they do. He's got mad air conditioning. People spread out, but still packed. And these lights. So it's like everyone's getting a wash of black light. It's like a UVA light. So he's like so on it. And it's like, boom. And then we do a meet and greet outside. Everyone's 6 feet, buys a package, takes a picture, takes the mask, walks away. Like it was smooth as silk. So, yeah, man. So I got I'm booked until the middle of October. We'll see before the world shuts down.
Yeah.
I started June 1st.
Yeah, we're not shutting down Florida. The rest of the world will shut down, but Florida's
the world will be shut down. Florida will still be slanging.
DeSantis tacos. Won't shut us down.
Shout out Taco Bus.
Taco
Yo,
Bus.
It closed at midnight, bro. I usually go there at 3 a.m. and get my cracked taco.
That is weird. They close at midnight in Tampa?
Yeah, bro. It's weird. Like, the next thing you know, Mons Venus is going to be closing at, 1 a.m. Like, what's going on?
Oh, he was the last guy I had in here. Now,
Mons Venus?
The guy who owns Mons Venus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet he's sitting on some cake.
Yeah, he is, man. He's crazy. Crazy old man. Crazy old guy.
Got the spaceship.
Pony tile. No. He doesn't own the...
No, that spaceship room. That's Mons Venus.
That's not Mons Venus. That's
2001. 2001, yeah, okay.
That's 2001. Mons is right across the street. Mons is like this little tiny hole in the wall right across the street. You don't even really see it. It's right next to the Taco Bell.
But none of the women there have like bullet holes.
No, there's no bullet holes.
Yeah.
The women there. All the women that go to the strip clubs in Tampa, they all come from all over Florida.
It's, you know...
They drive like 3 hours to go to work because they make so much money there.
Yeah, it's... The strip club is here. This is kind of like how can I say this? It's the type O blood of strip, meaning that like type O blood, as they say, the caviar of blood. It's like you can't take anyone's blood, but you can give your blood to anyone. I know that's a weird reference, but I was talking to a doctor earlier about all this shit and COVID. And basically, the strippers here are that. It's like a very high-end industry here.
It is. It is like, this is like the capital. I love how you keep wiping that thing down.
It's PTSD,
Everybody that comes from Los Angeles is very paranoid about the cleanliness.
It's dumb.
It's a funny thing.
I know. It's not me. It's just PTSD. It's
no, media. It's PTSD from the media.
Yeah, for real, bro. Like, it's like, the virus is everywhere. But it's like not.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you come to Florida and everyone's like chilling, eating a taco, riding a beach cruiser. No drama. I've had no drama so far.
Really?
I've had packed shows, no drama, no fights, and I see a lot of people wearing masks.
Yeah, a lot of people wear masks, but a lot of people don't like to follow the mask rules.
But I don't see, like, any people out there with signs doing shit, none of that.
No.
So it's like, it's what I'm saying is a little bit of, and then your numbers were bumped up 3 times more than what they were. Did you read that?
Uh-uh.
That the CDC lied and said 28,000 people had the case, but it was only... Half of that, so it was about 15,000.
When did that
happen? 2 days ago.
Really?
So it was like people are like trying to make Florida look like, you know, Florida man.
Yeah, they were. They always try to do that to us.
Yeah, they fuck you.
Those bastards.
I feel like I'm interviewing you. When's the interview going to start?
It's already started. Jeez. This is how it always goes.
I know.
That's why you don't know who I am.
I know.
That's why you don't know him, because I'm a shitty interviewer. I just do this. I get people like you on here. And
no,
everyone,
we talk. We open up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just watched your podcast, your 4-hour podcast with Bert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How? Why? Just now to prepare for this?
I just watched it in the last, like, 48 hours it took me to on and off. I just watched it. It was great. It wasn't even, like, a podcast. Like, you guys were just sitting there on the couch getting drunk and talking shit. It was hilarious.
Dude, Burr is the man. He's Florida royalty, isn't he?
I learned on that podcast that he's from Tampa. I had no idea he was
from Tampa. Actually from Tampa. Wow.
That's what he said on the podcast.
Yeah, Burr is... paying attention. Burr is, like, one of the greatest. And, yeah, I did, like, a four-hour pod with him. Like, he's... He has so much fun.
It's like you guys forgot you were even doing a podcast.
100%. That's what he does.
Sitting on a couch.
And I was like, oh, shit, is Cameron here? Yeah, it was incredible. He's awesome.
Is he in L.A. also, close to you?
I think he's not far. I think he's over, he's in the valley. And I'm over in the hill and more towards Hollywood.
Okay.
But yeah, he's got a dope setup.
Now you have a podcast, right?
Yeah.
When did you start it?
I kind of started it in 2017, and it was called Hate to Break It to You, and it was a way for me to start talking to my fans another version of me. You know what I mean? Because it's like people know me from movies and stuff, but people who know me, you know what I mean? But it's like a pod, it's like you keep it real. Mm-hmm. And then I was doing it a little bit, and it was a lot of work, and then I was getting so busy, and I was doing, different movie or TV show, and it was hard to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then I didn't have the right producers, and then when the pandemic hit, I was like, I'm really going to do it. So then I just buckled down, and now I'm, into it. So I try to put out an episode every week, every 2 weeks. But I do solos, which are easier.
The solos, though, I feel like that's harder.
No, I have a lot to say, and I have takes on stuff, and sometimes you get a guest, and they just... Don't, it's like, you know, people really want to, I have a lot of opinions, so people like that.
Yeah.
But a good guest, I have a guest on today that's going to be great because he's my buddy who's a young, a stud, but he's a nurse. He's a nurse in the, I don't even want to say it because I want to get you demonetized, in the C ward. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what's crazy. We can't even talk about shit. But so
the C ward?
Yeah, think about it. You know, Ms. Rauna. So, you know what I mean? I'm trying not to get you D'd.
That's okay. I get D'd all the time.
You know what I'm saying? So, and he's telling all the stuff because I put all types of information on my Instagram. Some funny, some not. And people get all booty tickled. So, I got a nurse, my buddy, who's like a young kid like you, mm-hmm. who's like on the front lines. Wow. And so, it's pretty. So, I like people like that who are like an expert in a field I know nothing about.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only type of podcast I do. I don't really have many. There's not really much going on in my my brain is just kind of like always been soft serve, you know what I mean? I'm not very sharp, so like I need people like you to carry the show.
You're doing humble. Are you a surfer?
Yeah,
I could tell that.
How could you tell that?
Because you got kind of like the bill, but you're like being super humble, but you're like totally assessing the situation, getting me to spill my butt. Getting the clips out of me.
I like your perspective. You're a smart guy. You say that you have like opinions and you're able to like talk by yourself and get a lot of your ideas out solo. It's kind of like Bill Burr. He's like the best at that, right?
He's the best, yeah.
Is that come from a lot of writing? Is that how that did that? Was that something that you developed or was that something that you were just naturally always good at?
No, I think that we're just, that's why I'm in comedy, because it's like you have all these takes on things and they're like brewing inside of you and they're going nuts and you're like, I gotta expunge this. So that's why you go on stage, you know, and so you start doing it. And I've had success in a lot of other areas in life, but I'm still drawn to the stage. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a way to like feel heard and share your opinions and get like-minded individuals and be like, yo, you feeling what I'm feeling?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's something that it's like you look at something, it gives you your, it leaves an impression on you and then you talk about it. Regurgitate it.
I feel like being that kind of person though is not good for Hollywood though, right? Because you have an opinions on everything is not really good for, you don't want to piss off the establishment.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that the establishment is getting disrupted though. By, like I said, like guys like you, new media, and I think people are just starting to look at the establishment, see all the cracks, see all the bullshit, see all the stuff that they're feeding us, and being like, is this, do we want this? You know what I mean? It's like, it's people making this shit from behind this wall and this mountain, and it's like, yeah, it's cool, but like, I want to hear like the realness. I want to hear a voice from someone else. And so you're definitely right, but I think that's all cracking.
Has it made an impact at all on that part of your career? Because obviously that's like the foundation. That's where you did you started acting or did you start in comedy?
I started both, you know, in 1990, but I really got more successful as an actor. But like I was making inroads into comedy in L.A., but I wasn't really getting known for it. And then, but by getting little comedy gigs, agents would see me or producers would see me. They'd bring me in, I'd read, and that's how I started getting early acting jobs and, you know, commercials and then led to stuff. But definitely more as an actor. But I've been doing comedy, you know, my whole career.
And since you started doing, like, podcasts and broadcasting this kind of like raw, unfiltered shit and giving your opinions on shit like that, has that affected your acting career at all? Or has it, like, do you have agents and producers talking to you? Like, don't say this, don't say that. Like, don't.
That's so funny.
Is that real?
It's so fucking real. I don't think it. It hasn't affected me yet. There's definitely. I definitely have a representative, I'm not going to call them out, who definitely told me, like, yo, go easy on saying certain stuff. You know, you just might want to lay low, which I was like, I just kind of let it slide. But I'm like, do you know who you represent? You know what I mean? Like, and this is what we do. We don't, like, curtail, like, an artist. Would you tell, like, fucking Johnny Rotten, go easy on, you know, slicing yourself with a razor blade? No, right. It's Johnny Rotten, you know? Right. I'm not saying I'm doing that, but it's like, yeah, so... That was a great example of this, the typical, like, make money, don't rock the boat, always try to get the bag, to, like, having opinions, to rocking the boat. But there's a new bag out there. That's what I'm saying. All of this disruptive media is making a new bag because there's an audience really want the new bag. They're sick of the bullshit. I hate to say that, but, like, the waking up, the real wokeness is the people waking up to all the bullshit. That's my opinion.
Do you think that there's people out there, like, because you were just in a movie with what was the latest movie you did? Brad Pitt one? The BP?
That one. I did that one, but then I got cut out. Fuck.
I'm you, so what bummed. Do you mean you got? Oh, they cut you out when they were editing?
Yeah. I had three good scenes, but they're really good. But hopefully, I heard if it goes to Criterion Collection, then I'll be in there. You know what that is? That's like when the movie is like put in its own thing in the longer form.
Okay.
So that would be dope. But no.
I thought they were going to make you the dad. You should have been the dad, Tommy Lee Jones.
BP's dad.
BP's dad in the movie, the guy on the spaceship.
But I did another movie, which you're talking about, which you don't know if you're talking about, but I did this movie called Roe v. Wade, and that pissed a lot of people off. And that was just a movie about abortion. And that pissed off a lot of people, and a lot of Hollywood press wrote about it and started saying all the stuff, and it was like, yo, I'm just an actor. So that
when was that movie?
That came out over the pandemic, like March, and it came like to like all these streaming services. But it was like considered like a more of a right wing movie, but it's really not. I'm just an actor. I'm not right wing. I'm not left wing. I'm just a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people were mad that I did that. But so far, it really hasn't fucked me up.
What was it about?
Abortion.
The take on it was like you shouldn't abort.
Well, the take was a little bit more like, hey, abortion's a little bit more dicey than people say. There's a little bit of money being made. There's an agenda there, and a lot of people didn't like that. They thought they were messing with their rights and got a lot of people upset. And, you know, it's like then people were asking my opinions, and I'm like, I'm just an actor. And then it's like, you know, well, you're being irresponsible acting in it. And I'm like, you know, it was a good role. And so that's a longer conversation. But basically, in a nutshell, that's what you should do. You should make movies about things that cause conversation, and that's what it did, even if it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I like escapism, too, but...
Yeah, well, the crazy thing about it is, like what you're talking about, they got mad at you, or, like, the establishment will get mad at you for doing certain types of things or having certain types of opinions or whatever it may be, but it's, like, coming full circle with YouTube, too, because now everyone's in the media right now talking about how YouTube demonetizes people, and they make conversations that, like... That they don't think it could be like an accredited, like you were talking about, like your buddy who you're going to interview today, the guy who's a nurse, they will probably demonetize it if he talks about COVID or has any kind of opinions on it, and they make it unprofitable to talk about that kind of shit.
Don't you think that's weird?
I mean, yeah, of course. It's fucking crazy. It's scary as shit. But it's like coming full circle. It's like now YouTube is you can't talk about certain things or else you get deplatformed or demonetized.
I know. So what does that tell you?
That tells you you got to join, what's his name, Glenn Greenwald's Rumble website.
I just saw that. I just saw that too. Yo, kind of dope. Let's be real. But then they're going to call you like a right winger, right?
I guess, probably. He was on, I saw that he tweeted about it.
Who is Glenn Greenwald?
He's a gay political guy. He started some media platform a long time ago. And then you need to adjust it. There's like two little levers on the left side. Just pull it down. What do you want to go down?
Yeah.
So there's the back left one. Pull it up.
I did.
Didn't go down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That was a way to describe that. You're going to get so much shit. He's a gay political guy.
Yeah. He's a gay political guy, but he's got a lot of really good takes. Like he's obviously,
Why wouldn't he?
He's a left-wing guy, but he just like shits on like hypocrisy of left-wing politics and all the corrupt people in there and how like, you know, he talks a lot about like the deplatformization of people and like the freedom of the press and how they're like trying to, you know, put Julian Assange, however you say his name, in prison for life, even though he's overseas and like turning journalists, you know, into basically trying to incarcerate journalists for talking about whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, lately I've just noticed he's been pointing out a lot of the hypocrisy and that kind of stuff. And he's actually pretty cool because he's just this like gay left-wing guy, but he's going on all of these right-wing shows like Tucker Carlson and the Democratic people hate him for that.
Oh, wow.
Like, why would you go and talk about, you know, on this guy's show?
Because he's keeping an open mind.
He is keeping an open mind. That's why I like the guy. He's like, he's very smart.
And he started Rumble.
I don't know if he started Rumble. I learned about him through the guy Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
I learned he was on his show.
Okay.
So that's how I found out who he was. And then he's just been pushing this Rumble thing. And maybe it probably is his.
I gotta go. Dude, but think about this. Look how insane this is that you can't talk about certain stuff. Like, I get, like, it's like that you're being demonetized. What does that tell you? Like, YouTube used to be like the freest, craziest shit. The fact that they are like, that just shows you that's like, if something is, if there was no, I call fuckery charcuterie, because, you know, I try to use code words. If there was no charcuterie there, you would be fine. It's not like you're saying, if you're just going, saying something against what a bigger message is being pushed as, that's weird. And that's what I'm saying. And then when you comment on it, people are like, no. It's like, you're being controlled. Like, if you can't have an opposing opinion with based in some type of reality, then we're in trouble. And I just feel like that's what's weird, bro. Like, big tech is now
the monopolies that
But they're like,
and they're
pushing the same narrative as like let's just say CNN. And I'm not saying CNN all has bad stuff. It has some cool stuff.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a biased thing. Just like, obviously, Fox is biased. Mm-hmm. But Fox is like the dark star, and CNN is like considered Luke. You know what I mean? But are they?
Yeah. And it's all everyone talks about now is like, everybody knows that Fox and CNN are these two completely polar opposite things that just push headlines for views.
Yeah.
And I think those shows aren't very successful. They get those daytime or nighttime segments they have on those shows get way less viewership than your average podcast gets.
Yeah, totally.
Like, then your episode with Bert probably got twice as many views as any episode of Tucker Carlson gets.
That's crazy.
You know, it is crazy.
That's nuts. Well, yeah, but pods are super, like, you know, informative, and people are just going in, and it's free-form speech. You get to say what you want.
Have a seat, Mike.
Oh, what's up, dude?
This is my friend and client, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
He's going to join us.
How you doing, man?
How you doing? You jumped in late.
We're talking about...
What happened, Mike? Where were you at?
Yeah, where were you?
My flight was late.
Your flight was late?
You were in the car, dude.
He was in the Tesla.
Well, now you've blown my cover.
Yeah. All right, Mike. You're not coughing or anything,
right?
There
were only three of us that knew that.
He's worried about, don't cough, because he's worried about
I've got my card.
Ms. Rona.
Oh, he's got his card. Show it. Can you show it to him?
Your weed card? That's all right. You can buy those in Tijuana, Mike.
That's all right. I don't need to see it. I got
you. The thing
you.
Is, I haven't been to Tijuana.
He could be shedding.
No, but shedding even if you us. Have your card, you can still spread it, Mike.
Spread her.
You want to put my mask on?
No, you're fine. You're fine, yeah, Mike.
I have my Darth Vader mask.
You're fine.
You're fine. I have a hockey mask. It won't protect germs, but if you throw something at me, we're good.
Okay. He was worried about coming here because he called this town Crack Town, and then he felt better once he got into the studio because it's a decent location.
Nice. Was like I was walking around. I was a little paranoid.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, don't be paranoid. You're good.
He pulled up in the car with the door open. He was driving down the street with the back. You were driving down the street with the back door open.
Like Ghost ride the whip.
What were you ready to do? Jump out?
I was ready. You never know when you have to jam out. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was about to run out, and I'm like, all right, just go to, because I need her to go to Walgreens, and I'm like, I'll just run out. And then she's like, oh, he's over here. So she flipped a B. And I was like,
just remember.
You liked it, though.
I did like it.
Gluckman's down with the bitches in the hose.
The bitches in the hose, Mike.
My daughter and I watched that movie, probably conservatively 20 times.
Nah.
You tell me any part of that movie, and if you can stump me, I'll give you
your watch. Your watch.
All right, ready, Mike?
Okay.
Shrink, shrink, blinkety blink.
Shrink, blink, 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 shrink.
Shrink,
blink, blink, shrink.
Shrink, shrink, blinkety blink.
Yeah, but it's about the when he wants to
try to make me think. Can you finish your rhyme?
Yeah, try to make me think.
Got
to
go to the sink.
Throw up in the sink.
And vomit.
Yeah.
Clean it up with comet. Yo, Earth is my planet. Yeah.
It's my planet.
Because I had to make a rhyme.
Stumbled through that one.
Mike, appreciate you.
Yeah.
Mike's a big fan. Mike's a huge fan.
Huge fan.
Keep throwing them at me. Keep throwing them. Funniest movie ever.
Appreciate it. I think it's aging well, too, right,
yeah,
Mike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. And is that your most well-known?
That, Scream, Jamie Kennedy experiment for the super comedy heads, Ghost Whisperer for the Midwest mommies. Those are like the four that really hit. I mean, then there's like movies like Enemy of the State and different movies that like people go, oh, yeah. But yeah, I would say Malibu's
up there. In that one, you were 75% of the movie. So, I mean, it's, you're.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
That was my baby.
Movie, yeah, that was you. You didn't have a part in it.
He was the
other
movie.
People had fractional parts.
Yeah,
the movie was
B-Rad.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to do. You know, I was trying to be that
up in
character
the boo.
Up in the bizzo.
What was the deal with What was the deal with that movie? How did it come about? Like, what was like?
Oh
how,
my God.
How did they approach so you funny. With it? Was it your thing?
No? So it was like at that time, a lot of late '90s, you know, white boy wannabe gangsters. That was like a big. Affliction that now is accepted, but at the time it was a new strain of an affliction. People were like, what is this? And there was a couple movies that like I went in for and I didn't get, but I always had that character, you know, and I did stand up, like I was saying, and I was my stand up was basically just trying characters and then getting it going. And then I did the show, the Jamie King Experiment, which is a whole other ball of wax, and then the character got very popular. So I had a script for it, you know, kind of like Mike Myers, who's one of my heroes in making characters in the movies. And then I brought it to Warner Brothers, and my show was at Warner Brothers. So they were like, oh, this is interesting. And so, you know, we developed it, and boom, you know, we did it for a low budget. And, you know, then they got the great cast, and boom, we were off to the races. It was incredible.
Do you still, to this day, if you're in public and a stranger calls you B-Rad?
People look at me now and they say, are you B-Rab's kidnapper?
Well, the reason I ask is...
But they do. They'll roll up on me and say some shrink, shrink. Blinkety blink.
Shrinkety shrink, blinkety blink.
Try to make me think.
Puke in the sink.
Yeah. Sometimes it's... I've been friends with Mayer Lopez for years. And one time out in Vegas, this is probably... 15 years ago.
You're going to drop a jewel.
You're going to
drop a jewel, Mike.
I don't know about that. but just by chance, we're at the Hard Rock. It was on New Year's Eve. We used to go every New Year's Eve. And
For business
playing,
only.
Playing, exactly. It was business. playing blackjack, and I was with Darius Rucker on one side,
yeah,
and Mario on the other side.
Hoots.
And everybody was calling him Hootie and Mario Slater, and both of them, it just annoyed the shit out of both of them.
Wait, why would these guys not playing at a public table?
Well,
on the floor?
I never said that. Can we rewind the tape?
But who would... No, it had to be public because if they had a private table, no one would say that. So they were getting... Yeah, that's... So they were getting annoyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, sometimes it's like... It just depends. If you... Like, you know, Darius or Mario are just normal people. You know what I mean? They just happen to be famous and are, you know, like myself, I'm very fortunate. But there are days when you just want to play blackjack and you don't want someone to come up to you going, "What's up, Slater?" You know what I mean?
Right. So I know. It took him a long time.
Yeah.
But you kind of got to be ready for it if you're at a public table.
100%. Like, you got to be, you have to go in with your best foot forward. And the problem is that we can't make mistakes. If we do, then we're, you know, POSs. I'm like, oh, man, Jimmy Candy. And it's like, yo, I might have gas. I might have had a bad bowl of oatmeal. My girlfriend might have, like, you know, hollered at me. It's, you know, I might have just lost money in the stock market. You don't know what's going on. And it's like, fuck, you know, and it's like, so... You know, that's what it is. But
as an artist, when you did something that put you on the map,
100%, right? I'm very fortunate.
And then you've done so many things that are so much better, so much better. I mean, you've grown as an artist.
Yeah.
And that everyone still wants to bring you back to that. Yeah. You know?
Well, no, that to me is very high art. Malibu's is very high art. It's pop art. It doesn't take itself seriously, but there's a lot of messages in it. It's aging very nicely.
Got the biggest booties in the stable.
Yeah, it's got the biggest booties. But it really has to do with cultural appropriation, which is a big topic now, but also cultural appropriation and appreciation. That's what the movie's about. Where's appropriation? What's appreciation? And for me, it was based on my love of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just because I'm a white dude doesn't mean I can't love it and can't rap to it, but that's what I love. I grew up on Led Zeppelin. And then somebody gave me hip hop, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So I love Led Zeppelin, but I also really love hip hop. So it hit me at a young age.
Well, you can be diverse, you know.
Yeah,
in your
it wasn't like that, as you know. In the early '80s, it was like hip hop was like, you know, more like inner city, and Led Zeppelin was more like suburban kids,
right?
And I was always like, kept my foot really in both.
But when it comes to those mixing of cultures and different, you know, musics and that sort of thing. I don't think anything is more validated than Kurt Cobain and Nirvana with the big hair bands. I mean, when that grunge music came out of Seattle, I mean, Van Halen and Motley Crue and all of them went, "Oh, geez, we're fucked."
because grunge was so intense.
Yeah, but it was Kurt, like a light was so switch. Kurt, it was like a light switch.
Well, yeah. I mean, Van Halen's different. I think they're a much deeper band.
Yeah.
And they're so interesting. But I think some of the hair bands that were more fluffy realized how deep Kurt was. Kurt's like a super, you know, generational artist. He's like John Lennon.
Yeah.
So you're saying that just completely... I remember that. You're right. It shut down that whole, like, fluffy...
Oh, yeah.
And became, like, as raw as it can be.
Oh, yeah. As great as Motley Crue was...
Yeah, I love Motley Crue.
And other bands, for that matter, they're, you know...
You're just saying he was so deep. Like, much pathos.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing, really, is that he has such great music, and in my personal opinion, it was so great because he was a really troubled soul. And, you know, he did some great stuff that... Yeah, you know,
did you ever see the HBO?
I would never want to be in his place.
Did you ever see the HBO documentary about him?
I've seen there's
yeah,
multiple ones. Yeah,
there was one with the drawing. They took his book of writings and stuff, and they like put animation to it. It's insane. He's incredible. Yeah, he seemed like a very, very troubled guy.
It seems like some of like the most successful artists in anything, in any form, are like the most deeply troubled, drug addicted.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Absolutely. Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison and 27 Club.
Yeah. I think you know what I mean? It doesn't mean it doesn't mean you can't grow up in a nice life and not create something great, but usually troubled people channel that pain in this usually into something really amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, Amy Winehouse, amazing.
Right.
So yeah, it's, yeah. it's, yeah,
but
you know,
it's there again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's intense.
Look
but
at the
like,
circumstances and the outcome.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It's so unfortunate. But it's like, you know.
Roseanne.
Yeah. She's still here.
Roseanne.
She's still here.
You can just go. I'll take
She's
care of
She's still here.
But, yeah, it's unfortunate. And even, you know, a lot. Many artists that are still around, and I would say they write their best music. That you know, they're not creative unless you know unless they're depressed and you know
it's a way to cope.
Yeah, it's you know just the music, the lyrics, the pours out of them.
Yeah,
you know when they're everyone has good days and bad days. You know?
Yeah,
they're not they'll say that you know they're best writing or. Any yeah. of the writing usually doesn't come on the good day.
Yeah.
It comes on the depressed day, you know, curtains closed, haven't left the house for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then when they emerge, they emerge with just genius.
Yeah. You know what I love talking about podcasts? About people. I hate that because I'm still in Hollywood. So let's avoid all that. Jesus Christ.
Oh, we can't talk about me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we just popped all your tires, didn't we?
Mike came in.
We started talking about other Hollywood.
Can you go back to whatever you were doing?
Oh, I got one I want to talk about.
Hey, he brought up the Marilyn Manson thing. I'm just saying, most of the great music, not most.
They're pain,
a
Mike.
A lot of
They're
great
pain.
Music, and they'll yes. tell you it's, yes. you know, it's when I'm pain, in my, dark, my darkest pain. Hour. Yeah. I these words just flow out of me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
Mike, what do you do?
I actually own a chain of hearing centers.
Oh, a hearing center. Okay, yep.
Fits yep. people with hearing losses.
We do audiometric testing and good hearing aids. Yeah,
you're like a helping
yeah.
society.
Yeah, it's Audibel hearing aids. It's literally the only thing I've ever done.
Wow.
I started in this industry when I was 21, and I'm still doing it.
It's awesome.
So,
he goes to like Africa and he'll fit. Like thousands of kids with hearing aids.
Yeah, a lot of people give a dollar, but they won't give an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the places you don't want to be in.
Yeah, no, yeah.
A little scary, but prior to the pandemic, I was probably doing 5 missions a year between 1 week and 3 weeks.
So you're a missionary?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur, but
go to like Botswana and stuff like that.
I've been to Africa twice, all over
Congo
twice. Yep,
yeah,
yep, yep.
I know.
Honduras, Mexico. I have no idea how many times, tons of times. Peru, just any place where it's just impoverished and people wouldn't get help otherwise.
Yeah,
you know,
beautiful.
Yep. So,
how's your
but
hearing?
Any, this isn't about me. It's about you.
Oh. That's beautiful. That's a real story, though. My hearing is okay that I know of. Jesus.
Good.
Jesus. I hear that every day.
Come on, let me fix
Gotta
you.
Gotta get checked out, bro.
Yeah.
Gotta get checked out. Don't let that ringing in your ears get too loud.
That's the aliens.
You know, I wanted to ask you, speaking of talking about people in Hollywood, do you still talk to Nick Swartzen?
Oh, yeah.
Nick Swartzen,
one of the funniest motherfuckers. He was like one of my like the first comedians I was ever exposed to as like a young.
A Day in the Life Of was the first time
the
I ever saw
him. The cocaine thing.
Oh my god, The Day in the Life Of, and this was probably 15 years ago. It's the funniest damn thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
At the time,
he's the greatest. He helped. You know, he was like the guy that really helped push Malibu, and he wrote it, and you know, and then like
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of it.
Yeah.
He would. I would like riff the character and then he'd go and he'd write 10 pages. Just absolute brilliance. And he'd bring it back to me and I was like, oh my God. Then he'd write 10 more. So he really helped that movie become what it is. He was the genesis of it.
Yeah.
So Nick's my boy. I love him.
Yeah,
I think he's down here right now.
Is he really?
I think he's somewhere in Florida right now.
Well, then yeah,
I got to get his ass on this.
Hit him up.
Yeah. Holy shit!
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know how to hit him up, but you do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he won't hesitate to give me his number.
He is brilliant. There's no doubt about it.
The best.
No doubt about it.
Like one of the funniest people you'll ever meet.
Yep.
Like you'll just sit with him and you think you know him. I've sat with him 50 times. Every time I'll find something new and I'll just cry. Like, he'll always just make you laugh. Like, he's, I mean, I love him.
I used to fucking just love scrolling through his Twitter feed and listen to all the shit talk he would do. He used to talk so much shit. He loves football. Like, he talks so much shit about football. It's so fucking funny. Does he have a podcast?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm sure. You know?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. You got to hit him up, bro. He'd be perfect for this.
Yeah, it was always like him, like you, Nick, and Dirt Nasty were always kind of like...
Simon.
Simon, yeah. You guys were always kind of like owned that niche. You know what I mean? That comedy acting niche, like comedy rapper / actor. Yeah. Kind of niche in LA.
Yeah, there's a few of us, you know what I mean, that have that kind of like that vibe of, I don't know.
Cut from the same mold.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like hip hop.
Same inspiration.
Hip hop.
Old cloth, whatever.
Hip hop inspired
yeah.
comedy, you know, with a little bit of, you know, of a twist, you know, but like Simon's also brilliant. Like,
yeah,
hilarious. His raps are dope. You know what I mean? That's funny because. His raps are funny, but they're really dope. Like, they got great beats, and there's hooks, and his style, like, Dirt Nasty. Like, as soon as he comes on, you know it's him. Yeah. So he's got a signature sound. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, sometimes, I think it's probably, you know, he's got a lot more music in him. And I think he probably wants to make it.
That's another interesting thing you guys were talking about with Bert, where you're just like, you guys are like these comedic rappers, but you guys are like on, you're teetering on the edge of being like legitimate, like successful hip hop artists and comedians.
Well, it's like, yeah, it was my buddy Stu, who's also, Stu's a really good rapper. So it's like, you got people, right? So it's like, kind of like for white dudes, the way in the hip hop was funny. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
it's for people to take you serious.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, say what you want, like, you know, one of the best ever to do it, Eminem.
Right.
You know, his first rhymes are so insanely amazing.
Sick.
But they're
sick.
Funny.
Yeah, like
he's a sick lyricist, but there's a lot of comedy there. Like, Eminem is hilarious, you know? And he's also very deep, very dark, you know, like intense. But his foray into hip hop was, you know, Hi, My Name Is, which is all like dope, but sick, but hilarious. And I think that's what like the Beastie Boys initially were funny. Me and Stu, like my buddy Stu, is a dope rapper, really good. He was an actor, he's been in a ton of stuff. He was a Care Bear as a kid. He was Donnie Darko. Like, he's been a lot of stuff.
Shit.
And he just rapped on the side in GarageBand. And I, like, one day I heard him. I'm like, yo, this shit. He raps so good about a porn star. The porn star heard it. And he started dating her. Like, that was like,
what?
Yeah. Because he started dating him because she loved his.
Do you have a pencil?
He started rapping so much. And so, like, so I was a fan of his raps. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to produce your rap. So I gave him, like, 20 grand to, like, do his album, and he did it, but couldn't get it going. You know, this was before like SoundCloud, and I'm like, yo, I'm doing this movie, like, you gotta help me. So he wrote my rhymes, but not really for Malibu, but then he started writing all these other rhymes. So I wanted to put out a comedy rap album called Crap. No, but like, that's what comedy and rap, but like, before, like, The Lonely Island is also really funny.
Oh, yeah,
but The Lonely Island is dope too. Like,
yes,
they're good rappers. So I think that's what we do. We go in with a funny way, and then, but no one can accept it. Now there's artists that can, one minute they're acting, the next minute they're cooking, the next minute they're writing a book, and they're like accepted. But for a while, people were in, like, they couldn't take you outside of your hole, you know, your pigeonhole. And so I think now it's easier to be a cross-platform artist. But yeah, like, you could, the key to it is a good beat.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
Like, keeping the shit hard. But for me, you couldn't be hard right away. It had to be funny. But if you listen to my album with Stu, there's some bangers in there, low key.
Hell yeah, low key.
Low key bangers. You know what I mean,
Mike? You know what low key bangers are?
You know what a low key banger is, Mike?
No, I don't. Actually, no, I don't.
low key on the high note.
Dude, maybe you missed the part where I said I fit hearing aids.
No. Low key on the high note means that it's like, yo, it's like, how can I say it? Like, yo, this taco's low key fire. So how would you say what that is?
Turn it off. It fucking keeps vibrating.
Fuck, dude. Marilyn Manson.
Low key means just like a lot of people don't know about it. Like it's underrated and it's really fucking good.
It's like Taco Bus has got a low key fire chorizo taco. You don't know about it. It's like it's good, but it's like on the menu, low key. It's kind of hidden.
Right. It's like not the most popular thing.
Okay.
But it's
not mainstream.
It could
it's
be the best.
Yeah.
It's not mainstream. Right.
Like
a lot of Florida rappers came up, you know, like, yeah. Like that.
Yeah, like that. Like Florida, like
have you heard of Rod Wave?
No.
Okay, never mind.
But that's all right.
He's like one of the top 5 Billboard hip hop artists. He's got like he's been in like top 5 Billboard for like the past year and a half to 2 years. And he literally was born and raised 10 minutes from here in like the ghetto of St. Pete.
Wow. Yeah. It's weird that St. Pete has a ghetto.
Oh, dude, it gets rough in St. Pete, downtown, or like Southside St. Pete. Not like
stabbings and stuff.
Oh yeah, stabbings and shootings every week probably. I mean, it's not as bad as like some other towns. It's not as bad as Chicago, but it's still pretty bad.
Yo, like low key, like I'm trying to think, like Chick-fil-A. Man, that's high key now. Trying to think, like
food.
Anything like yo
Popeyes?
Like
have you had the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
That's low key fire.
It's fire.
Medium key fire, meaning kind of it's bad. And then it'll just go high key. It's like yo, it's just high key.
Yeah,
high key on the high note.
High key on the high note. Yeah. That's when you're completely sold out.
It's done.
Yeah, you're sold out. You've already hit your core. You've already
like I'm not gonna lie. Like you come off stage, you go that gig was low key fire.
Right.
And you didn't expect it to be that good because it was like I played as like a tree house in LA. I'm not kidding. It's in I was telling them we're playing all these places outside and some dude has got this dope setup. You would love it. With like tables and bushes, but like high up. He built like straight up during the pandemic, built like tree houses. Not crazy extravagant, but dope. So there's a table up there. It's
really?
This dude's crib in Los Feliz, not far from me by Griffith Park. Have I heard of Griffith Park?
No.
And so you have. And so you go there and you'll do a show and there'll be like 60 people. And there's like little booths and shit. And it's now it's high key fire. Meaning it's like
it's mainstream.
Yeah, because it's in the back of this dude's house and it was like one of the hottest clubs.
It's in the back of his house.
He built it in the back of his house.
How's
that's
parking?
Sick.
You just park on the street. You park on the street.
That's hilarious.
And
dude.
It's high key fire.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's like that's what people do. The one of the greatest things about the pandemic is it brought the entrepreneurs out. So many cool, interesting, inventive people did shows or Zoom. You know, podcast blew up. So there's always moves to be made.
Well, like,
something's
like,
good
like,
or bad.
Like,
always like, moves, right,
yeah.
Mike?
Like Churchill said, never let a problem go to waste. Never let a
Can you find the Churchill quote he's talking about?
Yeah, it's never let a crisis go to waste.
Is that
never
what
let
said?
A crisis go to waste? That's a good quote.
I think it took me longer to say that than Churchill
Jesus
lived.
Christ, Mike. Yo, low key, I was waiting somebody to high key mention that.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Speaking of low key fire, bro, some of the best podcasts that I've done have been low key fire. Like the most fire podcasts, they're always low. Low key.
Yeah.
They're not like the most popular ones with the most views.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like the shit that pops off on YouTube more than anything else is not always the best stuff. Like the best content that I've done is not always been the most popular. I'm sure you feel that way with like movies and in different shows that you've done or specials that you've done.
I did a movie called Buddy Hutchins and it's on Amazon Prime and it was a little movie. And I play a guy that's kind of like, you ever seen the movie Falling Down?
Mm-hmm.
He did, you didn't. No, you should see it, but Mike gets it. So it's basically kind of what's happening now. It's like about a white middle-aged man who like can't deal with society anymore.
Yeah, just
it's like the original,
just
like,
give it up, man.
Get off my lawn type of dude. And yeah, it's Michael Douglas. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
Where's brilliant
his
movie.
Glasses. He looks totally different.
Really? And it's basically just like a guy just having a bad day to progressively worse. And it's just like,
which turns into a bad week,
yeah,
and a bad month.
So I did like a low budget version of that called Buddy Hutchins, and it's just this guy, he's at his wit's end, and he ends up doing horrible things, but they're like, justifiable throughout the plot. And it was kind of over the top. At one point I have a chainsaw. It's a little crazy. But people have hit me up about it, like, yo, Buddy Hutchins is low key fire, like, so it played a niche, you know. So that's what I'm saying, like, things have niches. So your podcast, people will have niches. It's like when you go to a convention, I do a lot of horror convention signings, and there's just people that are just straight up, the dude who is the fifth death guy killed in Chucky will have such a line because people connect with that character. So super specific things now. That's why this media is blowing up, because people will just, like with the hearing aid, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that need a hearing aid. They'll take that clip and they'll be like, oh, they'll look at it, and they might be a lot of traffic to Mike because of that. So it's like, I think with just all of us being able to connect.
Well, not
in
if
our
I can't
needs.
Form sentences.
Well, that was the Churchill one.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
Happens, Mike.
Do you
think Gingabaloba?
Do you think
happens to the best?
Do
of
how many parts of the Malibu's Most Wanted were kind of just ad lib, like off the cuff, like
improv?
Nick would write. Like, Nick had a really good scene. We would write it, you know, and then it was pretty much. I'm from the Keenan Ivory schools of like comedy, so Keenan like will have like your scene, and then it'll have five other jokes. So I didn't have that luxury, but I would get like three. So I would say, you know, it was a good amount of it improvised. Tay and Anthony are hilarious, and as funny as the parts were written, they made it way funnier by improvising. They improvised so much. So they were a huge improviser. And all the rest of us had moments of it, but I was writing all the time, so I would added another joke in. I would say, try this joke. So I tried a lot. So that was kind of like improvisation. But there was definitely stuff at the end of the scene where I just add stuff, sure.
So like you said, with Jim Carrey in his movies, they're told never shut the cameras off. Just keep it running.
Yeah,
some of the funniest stuff is like a minute after the scene. You know,
that's why you hire somebody. You
what
know,
was that,
like that
quote? Matthew McConaughey said something where he's like, whatever his movie was, Interstellar, he was just like, I forget when he said it or what it was, but it was some clip I saw on Instagram where he's like, when he does his scenes.
Come on, Danny, spit it out. Come on.
I'm trying. I'm better than Churchill, at least. He said when he does his scenes, when he practices them, he said, make sure they're rolling, because he's like, the first time he says it, he says it's always the best. He says, anytime after that, it's always acting. The first time he says it, it's always real.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own process.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you seen his movie that he did with Harmony Korine? The movie that he did with Jonah Hill, it's down in the Keys. They filmed it. It was basically 99% improv.
What was the movie?
Well, can you find out what the name of the latest Harmony Korine movie was? It was called Beach Bum.
Oh, Beach Bum. I heard that's good.
Dude, it was so good. It wasn't even like watching a movie.
Wow.
It was just like watching some dudes hang out for 2 hours.
Yeah.
No script. It was just like he has Matthew McConaughey, Jonah Hill, and some other guy like sitting there behind some $10 million mansion in the Keys, and they're drinking and there's hookers. He's like, action, go ahead, just start talking. And it was fucking amazing, bro.
Wow.
So such a cool fucking movie.
$10 million mansion, drinking and hookers.
Well, I tell you, I met Matthew McConaughey and talked to him, and you know, he is the most family oriented. Honestly, his kids, his wife,
he's from Texas, right?
That guy is just straight up, you know.
Yeah,
a solid guy.
Yeah, he is
solid guy.
Yeah,
super solid. I wanted to ask you. I want to respect your time. But,
I got another pod, if you can believe that.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the heckler?
Yeah, go for it. You wrote your notes out. Did you even get to your notes?
No, I didn't even get to my notes. I want to talk to you about heckler. I never do notes.
No, the stuttering fuck to my right won't shut up.
What?
I said the stuttering fuck to my right won't shut up.
You're not a stutterer. You just have what we call Biden brain.
Biden? Oh, no. Now that hurts, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, my God. Now that hurts.
Hey, man. I do a whole joke
that
about
hurts.
It.
Hey, man. No, I'm serious.
Hey, man.
I'm serious.
Hey, man. Mike.
Come on, man.
Mike's doing a
Biden
competing
brain.
Biden.
I love
you like that.
Hey, listen, we're on track. We're going to do over 300 COVID shots this month.
300.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait.
I do a whole joke about it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you performing tonight?
Yeah.
Are you?
Where?
Side Splitters.
Yeah, Side Splitters.
We should go watch them.
We should.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We're going to come. We're going to come watch.
Absolutely.
Them. We're going to come hang out. And do you sell merch after the shows?
I do.
Fuck yeah.
8:30, 10:30. Probably the 8:30 show is going to be packed. That's one you want to go to.
Yeah, okay. But we've got you, so it doesn't matter. Some people just don't get that table up front.
After this podcast over, he's going to delete my number. And he's going to forget we even exist. We're just going to show up and hope for the best.
No, but Biden, they say he's got a stutter, which is unfortunate. But it's like at some point, when is he not stuttering? And is it more of like... it's not a speech impediment. It's a brain impairment.
Look, you can watch old video of him because he's been in politics his whole life. He doesn't have a stutter.
People get real... He's upset about that.
Did you know hearing loss is the leading cause of cognitive decline?
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow. All right. We're going
one of the leading causes.
We're going to another commercial.
Yeah. Let's not talk about it.
But what inspired Heckler? How did that start? How did Heckler come about?
That's
the name of it, right?
Heckler is all about just really happened with like online, you know, just
online hecklers.
I started becoming a name, and then I started seeing like all the comments, and you know, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, we never had that. Like, you go to a movie, and then the movie would be done. You couldn't like go write the actor in the movie and go, "The guy who played the postman sucked dick."
Yeah, you're under such scrutiny
you
now
can't,
from
like,
everybody.
Go into his DM and be like, "You suck." Dick, sir, you suck as a postman. You're like, what the fuck? That never happened, bro. I don't know what you know in terms of life of your generation. That was just, you went and saw something, it was done.
Right.
And then we reviewed the movie.
You don't see people on the side of the road that are like calling you a piece of shit.
Yeah, it was like reviewed in a paper in a respectful way. And so Heckler was kind of like my comment on society of how it changed, how everything became heckling. So that's what we live in now. We live in a troll society. It was way before all the shit's happening now. But, like, reviewers used to review a movie. They review you now. They review your career, your face, your body. Comedy club hecklers were considered the worst. They're not now the bravest because they're there. You can put a... They're cool. Online is the worst because they hide behind a meme or something. And it's like...
In their parents' basement, yeah.
Yeah, so a whole thing is exploration of, like... accountability, like who are these people? And then so I got all these like crazy ass comments, and so I went and explored them, and I just like I went and literally did the thing where you consider the source, and I found out what the source was, and then people would look, I'm funnier than you, so then I put them on stage and then
Google,
they would bomb, and you know,
Facebook.
And so that was, you know, that's what the whole movie was about. It was about exploring who these people are and why is our society like that.
What do you think the main difference is between internet hecklers and commenters? Because 90% of my comments are fucking people that want me to dead. What is the difference between those kind of people and people who are in a like a live comedy show?
It's easy to
be
10 foot tall and bulletproof behind a keyboard in your bedroom.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think some of those guys are just swiping.
They need a life.
They're just like, don't think anything of it. They see you and they're like, look at this fucking surfing Poindexter or whatever. Cause you got I don't know. I'm just making up stupid shit.
Yeah, pretty,
like,
on, pretty on point there.
No, yeah, but it's like, so they'll just say shit. No, they don't think of it. You know, you got a big gulp in, the caffeine's running. Some of it's just harmless. Yeah. Some of it is like, you really piss them off because maybe you're living the life they want or something and they're insecure.
Yeah.
And some of it is just actual trolling of like, there's an art to that too. So it's different. There's like three or four levels to it. But, you know, I think we should have something on social media where no one can comment without accountability. So you have to see who the person is.
You want to censor the comments?
No, I don't want to censor them.
Okay.
I think all comments,
who it is.
I want to know exactly who they are.
Oh,
I want to know exactly where they are.
No
anonymity anymore.
I hate that word.
No anonymity.
I know what you meant, Winston.
And it was just like,
if you write it, sign your name.
Yeah, because you would just see a lot different happening. And then you could like people say so much shit to me. And then they have private accounts. It's like, you.
If you said that shit to somebody in a bar, you get your ass kicked.
You pussy. Yeah, like, they're such
can
pussies.
Dish it out, but can't take it.
No, yeah, they can't even. They won't allow you to comment. And I'll leave the comment there. And then at some point, I just won't even comment. I'll just let my community's pretty good about policing that stuff. Of like, really? And then that. But it's just, it's all good. I'm not beyond reproach. We all should be, you know, have looked upon as, you know, can be criticized. But it's like, yo, let's have a discussion. Don't do a drive-by and gun me down and then hide behind your fucking private wall.
Yeah.
Bitch move.
It is. It is a bitch move. The people that do it in the shows, they are way braver.
Way braver. That's
brave
the whole
of the liquor, right?
That's the icon, the ironicness of it. I don't know. Some of them are just most hecklers are harmless. They're just having a good time. They're laughing. They're loud. They don't understand. You say something, they believe you so much, and they're part of the show. They don't understand. But
they're mostly they're women, though, right?
Yeah, mostly, you know, white women in their mid 40s. We call them the triple dubs, the white wine warriors.
White wine warriors.
Yeah, they get a box of Franzia. You know,
oh my
Karens
God.
And Sharons. That's the scariest gang. But what I'm saying is, they get this. It's they're brave because they're there. I could see their face.
Right.
That was brave. And those used to be not the brave. Those, what I'm saying, I respect them more than any of them. If someone threw a tomato at me, I wouldn't really enjoy it. At least it's soft. But I would respect them more than somebody leaving a comment.
Right. That's hilarious.
Unless somebody's leaving a comment in another country and couldn't take a boat to say it to my face.
Does it affect how you handle hecklers? Because, I mean, historically, comedians, if you know, the last thing you wanted to be is a heckler, because the comedian would rip you apart.
What do you mean, does it affect?
Well, now if somebody heckles, and if you know, you do what stand-up comedians do, which is just, you know, make a joke of them, embarrass them, well, the other one's right back on their, you know, putting stuff
I
online.
Mean, yeah, you deal with them in the moment, and you know, comedians usually win. I mean, there's sometimes hecklers win, there's no doubt, but... Yeah, I mean, they'll definitely, then some people will take their licks and other people will go on a board and...
Yeah, but if you're funny, if the crowd sees it. If you destroyed them in a good way and you really did a good job, I think everybody's going to side
stop
with you.
It doesn't stop them from going, you know, the next morning and or that night while they're still, whatever, the W's from...
White wine warrior.
Yeah.
White wine warrior.
White wine warrior.
I fucking love
Mike's
that.
Mike's giving me Biden brain now. Winston.
That's awesome. God. That's fucking great, dude.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
I would love to hang, but I got a product.
Tell my listeners, promote your product.
My product is a hand sanitizer, Mike.
Shut up. That's
You're helping the world, but I'm helping the world jizz it off. It's called Jizz Off. You can go on jizzoffproducts.com.
What is this?
It's basically just hand sanitizer, but it's like, you know, the world is covered in germs, but another term for it is jizz. It doesn't have to be that word. It just is like, yo, everything's got schmutz on it. It's nice. It's soft. And it's $5. Go to jizzoffproducts.com.
Do you have one with you that I can get from you?
Yeah, take this.
That one? My daughter, when I tell her.
Oh, Jesus,
that
Nick, God.
What's that?
You're going to give it to your daughter.
Well, she's 28 now.
Oh, okay. All right.
But she and I watched Malibu's Most Wanted so many times.
So say it. It's B-Rad's.
It's B-Rad's.
I tell her B-Rad.
Yo, B-Rad. But then you got to promote the shit, Mike. When you're in Honduras, fitting people for earring aids, like, yo, what's up? Jizz it off.
I'll promote it.
Say, like, what's up?
I'll promote it.
Jizz that shit off. Ladies walking to the bus. Throw a little bit at her. What are you guys doing together, by the way?
We meet up all the time. Just to
what are you guys? What, he's your client?
He's my friend and my client. Yeah, I do his advertising for his business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're a marketer.
I do his advertising.
You're a marketer.
Making the commercials. The commercials. Where do people find your podcast?
Go to my podcast. You can just go to my website. It has everything. JamieKennedy.com. That has my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. And that's my hub. You'll see Patreon, all that stuff. So go to JamieKennedy.com for more of me.
Thank you. I love you, Jamie. You're
appreciate
a great guy.
You. Love
Jamie,
you guys.
Awesome to meet you, man.
Pleasure to meet you, Mike. Awesome. We're only messing with you.